I grew up super ambitious.
I know. You always had big goals.
I got to a place in my life where I finally gave myself the permission to pursue my dreams full time.
But somehow, no matter how much effort you put in, you weren't able to accomplish your goals.
I got very down on myself, and I was ready to give up.
I remember. And then something switched in you after you started observing the people who had what you wanted.
Yeah. I understood that they knew something I didn't know, that their foundation of beliefs, awareness, and knowledge was different than mine.
That's powerful. And you did what you needed to do.
I made it my mission to learn and to unlearn.
This is Joy Culture.
A safe place to extract the wisdom of stories, become conscious of the unconscious, and choose beliefs that serve the life that we desire. Hello and welcome to Joy Culture. I'm Toranj.
I'm Anusha.
Today we are with Sam Mandel from Ketamine Clinic, Los Angeles. Ketamine Clinics, Los Angeles. Remember that, guys. Sam, I would love to, first of all, thank you for being on the show, and secondly, ask you to please introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. I'm Sam Mandel. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Ketamine Clinics Los Angeles. And
today we want to talk about ketamine infusion. We don't know almost any. We know something, but we want you to inform us about everything that we need to know. Should we get it or not?
Okay, cool. Yeah, happy to do that.
Okay, so it's ketamine infusion therapy. The clinic administers ketamine infusion therapy.
Correct.
What is that?
Yeah, so I think for starters, we'll establish what ketamine is. Ketamine's a medicine. It's an FDA-approved medicine. It was synthesized in the 60s, FDA-approved in 1970 as an anesthetic, and it's used in both human and veterinary medicine. So some of the people watching this might think, I've seen that with horses as a horse tranquilizer or cat tranquilizer. Why are you giving that to people? But it is FDA approved for humans, and it's actually been among the most widely used anesthetics in the world. And in the last 20 years, it's been proven effective for various mental health conditions when used in smaller doses, sub-anesthetic doses. So we specialize in that, in IV infusions of ketamine to treat depression, PTSD, suicidality, and some other mood disorders as well.
Wow. I would love to ask you, obviously there is some relationship between ketamine therapy and neuroplasticity. I would love to ask you about that connection. And prior to getting into that connection, could you explain for people who are not familiar with the term neuroplasticity what that is?
Yeah, it's essentially helping the brain to form new connections. And, you know, we used to think that the brain was fixed after the age of 22 and wouldn't change. And science is recognizing now that the brain remains malleable pretty much for life. Obviously the acceleration of growth and change slows down quite a bit, but it can always change and through a wide variety of things. And medicine like ketamine can really help to exponentially increase the speed with which new connections can form in the brain. And you can disrupt old ways of thinking and being and actually put in place more positive habits, thought processes, etc.
So if someone is not dealing with depression or PTSD or the things you just said, can they just get it and like make their brain better or create new neurons or things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my personal belief is that ketamine is really great for most people, even if they don't have a mental health diagnosis.
They're not dealing with anything.
Because it can help with stress, with burnout, with just overall sense of wellness, increased compassion for yourself and others. All of us have some degree of trauma in life in one way or another. Or maybe it's not fair to say all, most of us have some sort of trauma, and it doesn't have to be a severe violent situation or some of the things that we often think of when we think about trauma.
Correct.
But even a car accident or the loss of a dear loved one or something like that can be traumatic for someone. So. Most people can find some healing and insight on themselves, on their life, on their ways of thinking and being. We all have negativity in our head at times. Some people are more plagued by it than others. Some have a harder time reining that in. We all have this voice in our head sometimes, self-doubt, criticism, judgment of ourselves. Yeah. So ketamine really quiets that. And it really helps to reset that and provide more space for people to fill that in with better self-talk, better ways of thinking and being. And it actually enhances brain function. We're talking increased dendrite density and connectivity, and can show in animal models a physical plumping up in the prefrontal cortex. So this isn't just about feelings or you know, treating symptoms, but actually getting at the root causes of the way that the brain is firing and wiring together. And ketamine enhances that. So that might have been a long way of answering your question, but yes, I think it can be great for most people. However, at Ketamine Clinics Los Angeles, we have to treat a confirmed diagnosis. Yes. We can't just take anyone who wants to try it. Ketamine is a Schedule 3 controlled medicine. Mm-hmm. It's regulated, and we have to identify a specific diagnosis and treat that. We can't just use it, however, you know, for whoever might like to try it. I hope that one day maybe the regulations will change, because again, I believe that there can be profound healing for almost anyone, regardless of what their background is.
Because there's so many people that they don't know they have PTSD.
Right.
They don't know they're dealing
with. Yeah, I only discovered I had PTSD in the last year.
Yeah.
Thanks to me.
Yeah. Thank you for triggering
it. You're welcome. Yeah. Now I brought you to Sam. Do ketamine.
Ketamine infused. Could you, Sam, I have so many questions I want to ask, but before I get into it, I would love to know, what is the difference between, I'm going to ask you the difference between ketamine as it is used, you know, as a recreational drug.
Yeah.
What is the difference between ketamine in recreational use, ketamine assisted therapy, and ketamine infusion therapy?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, when we're talking about kind of what ketamine is, some of the other things that it is, and it's interesting, it has many identities, right? And so depending on who you ask, someone could be emphatic about what ketamine is, and someone else could give you a very different answer, and they're both right. Mm-hmm. And usually it's the first exposure you had to it. So somebody who was at a party and, you know, saw someone using ketamine recreationally, or also known as Special K, would say, oh God, that's an illegal street drug. How can you give that to people? You know, or that's not a treatment. That's a party drug.
That's and what I thought initially, right, when Anusha was like, hey, my, you know, we can talk about ketamine assisted therapy or ketamine infusion therapy. I was like, wait a minute. I know people who like drink alcohol and do K.
Right, right, right. And you wouldn't believe how many people I talked to who are like, oh yeah, K, wow, I thought I was doing a line of coke one time and it was K instead. And that was my experience of it, and that was scary, you know, or you hear all kinds of things like that from people. So it is a drug that people use recreationally, mm-hmm, or, you know, has a street use. It's a anesthetic. It's still used all over the world as an anesthetic. It's an analgesic, a pain reliever.
Right.
It's used in trauma situations. If someone goes to the ER and they were in a bad accident, they might get that instead of an opioid for pain relief. They typically use it for, like, if they need to put a dislocated shoulder back in the ER, they might give you some ketamine IM injection. These are all very different uses, different dosages, different routes of administration than what we do in the clinic. So at Ketamine Clinics Los Angeles, we do IV infusions. So the infusion is about an hour long. Mm-hmm. Patients come in, they sit in a comfortable recliner. We give them pillows, blankets, noise-canceling headphones with relaxing music, make sure that they're safe and comfortable. We connect them to a hospital-grade monitoring equipment for their vital signs. So blood pressure, pulse ox, EKG. We have a wonderful team of physicians, advanced practitioners, nurses. There's 17 of us actually. So we're a big team to give everyone a lot of individualized attention and care, make sure that they feel really safe and comfortable. So that's kind of the process. And the patient just lays there for an hour, and it's really an inner journey. There's not a lot of talking. You know, we talk about the differences between what we do and what some of these other approaches are. We use a little bit more medicine over a little bit longer period of time for the patient to really have a maximum benefit in two ways. One, the neurochemical effects in the brain that are occurring during the infusion, and there's a number of them. And then two is the experiential component, the psychological aspect, which is really what makes ketamine so unique compared to other treatments. Both are very different. The way it affects the brain is unlike really anything else that we have had available up until now for mental health. And also that experience, it's psychedelic, it's dissociative. People are able to revisit trauma without being triggered by it. Thoughts that they've repressed, or things that are so difficult for them to think about or talk about, they can't get past them. But ketamine allows for you to disconnect from some of that emotional triggering to create a new understanding of what happened, and to find more compassion for yourself and others. People gain insight, clarity. You know, sometimes the experience is spiritual. It really varies widely from person to person and from even one infusion to the next. So, you know, what your experience will be on your first infusion is almost surely not going to be the same on your second. And, you know, mostly people lay there and they're not doing a lot. You don't see a lot going on with them externally, but there's a lot of inner, you know, work going on and all kinds of things.
And with the therapy, the ketamine-assisted therapy, is that like a psychiatrist, like step-by-step takes you to?
Is it led?
Yeah, so ketamine-assisted psychotherapy is a kind of particular approach that's a little bit different. And usually that's using intramuscular injection or a sublingual lozenge. So these are different routes of administration of taking the medicine.
Under the tongue.
Under the tongue, yeah. And it's almost always going to be less medicine because the dosages that we use are not really conducive to talking, and the experience is pretty outside of language.
Oh, wow.
Very valuable to process your experience in talk therapy on another occasion, and we're big advocates of that. But during the medicine session, as we'll call it, there's not a lot of talking. Afterwards, the nursing team will debrief with them. How are you feeling? You know, how was it? People might share some of their thoughts, but we don't do therapy then. And most people are still pretty altered by the medicine. So then you go home, eat, rest,
relax.
You know, and then maybe a few days later, next week, you know, they can see their therapist and really go deeper into it.
Yeah, it's like in a way that you trust the patient that they do the step-by-step themselves and find that healing that they're looking
for. And we support them with it. I wouldn't say, you know, by themselves, but, you know, there's a lot to be said for empowering patients to get connected to their inner healer and giving them the space to explore whatever's in there. You know, some people have a specific goal or intention, I should say, when they go into the infusion. A lot of people, it's as simple as, I'm just gonna be open to what comes up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not always clear on why we're dealing with some of the challenges we're dealing with or what those patterns are or things that we need to fix. We just know that things are not okay.
Yeah.
And
you create a safe space.
And when people feel safe and relaxed and the medicine goes to work, if they're open to that, there's a lot to be said for the insight and the healing that can provide.
Yeah.
I just want to run myself through the process.
Yeah.
So I connect with your clinic and I come in and we discuss my PTSD, personal PTSD, and we decide that this is the right path for me. What is the next step? So I come in, like you said, comfortable, space is created, I get connected to an IV. Is there any conversation then about how I need to lead myself through the process? If, for example, I am trying to target a particular event, moment, PTSD, trauma, is there some sort of way that the clinic or you recommend I face that? I experience that through the process, or do I allow whatever
comes up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's no right answer there. You know, you can go in either way, depending upon the trauma and your situation. The nursing team is really great, and our physicians are really great at helping to kind of identify if there is an intent that would be useful for that, whether it's, you know, I'm going to forgive myself and recognize that it's not my fault. That's what I'm going to go in with. You know, it's not my fault, and I need to really feel and know that. And sometimes people will cry the entire infusion and just, you know, they can mourn a loss or come to terms with the fact that they really get it now. You know, we've had people who have laughed literally for an hour straight. They're hysterically laughing. You know, sometimes people who haven't laughed in so long, you know, and that's healing. Maybe they just really needed to laugh, or they find the irony or the silliness and the
life.
Kind of the way that they've been suffering, you know, or whatever it might be.
Wow.
And we've even had people who were singing for an hour straight. I mean, we had one patient who was singing so loudly through the time, we actually scheduled her at our off hours when we weren't seeing any other patients because it was so loud. In our clinic, everyone gets a private room. They get noise-canceling headphones. We invested a lot of money into sound insulation so that it's really quiet in the clinic because people are very high. Their senses are really heightened.
Yeah.
And so we want them to have a really quiet, serene environment. But this particular patient was singing so loud for so long, and we didn't want to interrupt her experience. Yeah. So we're like, all right, we have something called office hours where people do admin work where we're not taking care of patients. We're like, we have to have her come in during our office hours. And we did, and it was fine. And so
listening to her.
Yeah, and you know, that's beautiful. And you know, for this patient, that was a way of really being free and self-expressed in ways that she hadn't allowed herself to be. And so that process is healing for her. So, you know, just to go back to your question, I don't know if I answered it. I feel like I kind of maybe was being long-winded, but yeah, you can have an intention or you can be open to what might come up. There's no right or wrong way. And by the way, that's a really important message we try to deliver to patients because they're investing their time, their money. They want to do it the right way. I'm a little bit perfectionistic sometimes, and people go into it like, what do I got to do to make sure I don't waste this?
Yeah.
And the reality is, there's no wrong way to do it except to trust and be open.
Yeah.
When people try to control it too much, I wouldn't call that wrong, but that's probably the closest you would be to wrong, is resisting it, controlling it. Relax and be open and trust, and really great things happen.
So what I've heard is that, like this, I think this is specific to depression with ketamine, that with one session, it lasts like the feeling and that feeling of depression being gone, it would last for like 3 to 4 days. And if you want to get an actual, like a good treatment, for example, schedule something like 3 times a week for 3 weeks. So you have months of not being depressed or like being in a better mood. Do you guys have like a specific method of giving this infusion to people, or like it depends on the patient? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so our protocol is 6 infusions over 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
As I mentioned, each one's about an hour long. The early research on ketamine was one single infusion, and average duration of relief was lasting about 7 to 10 days.
Oh.
And so they said, you know, the critics of this treatment initially said it doesn't work. Then it was proven to work. And they said, okay, it works, but it doesn't last. Mm-hmm. Well, then the protocol changed to a series of infusions.
Okay.
You know, people started thinking, well, if one dose, one time does this for severely treatment-resistant people, what if we give them more than one? Let's see what happens there. So now we've evolved to a protocol of 6 over 3 weeks. And we were actually some of the early pioneers to start doing that, actually concurrent with the research as it was happening. Because we've been doing this for a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're one of the first clinics in the country.
What happens after the 3 weeks?
Yeah, so after the 3 weeks, people generally get around 2 to 3 months of relief. Mm-hmm. It varies widely person to person, and it also depends a lot on their lifestyle. You know, people who engage in talk therapy, who focus on the pillars of wellness, you know, good nutrition, sleep, fitness, healthy social relationships, you know, these kinds of things obviously are going to really help someone have a better and longer lasting result.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, when someone's depressed, even if they know these things are good for them, they often don't have the energy or the motivation to do them. But ketamine provides that energy and motivation and relief. So then if they embrace those things with that newfound energy, they will have better and longer lasting results. Now, some people only get a few weeks, and we've seen, you know, people go as long as 2 years where they didn't need any other treatment. Now, those are outliers, a couple weeks on the short end or 2 years on the long end. Those are outliers. Average is going to be around 2 to 3 months. It's not uncommon for people to enjoy 4 or 5 or 6 months of relief.
Okay. What do you think is, or what do you know is happening in the brain that is causing that relief, say from a symptom of depression or PTSD? What is it that is causing that relief?
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to get too technical, but one of the processes is ketamine is an NMDA receptor antagonist, which is the N-methyl-D-aspartate receptor. By doing that, it increases the neurotransmitter glutamate. Glutamate is associated with mood, appetite, sleep, function.
Correct.
Interestingly enough, most, if not all, of the medications that we've had up until now, prescription pills, haven't affected glutamate. They've targeted other transmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine.
Yeah.
Glutamate is actually the most abundant, found in 85% of the brain. All the others together are 15%, but we didn't focus on it for some reason.
Wow.
That's beyond my understanding. But so this increase in glutamate is associated with partly treating these symptoms. Because when a brain is depressed, you can actually see a measurable decrease in activity over long enough time.
Right.
You can actually see areas that involute that actually physically shrink in size. So ketamine is plumping these areas back up. If you think of
like the hippocampus?
Yeah, and prefrontal cortex, et cetera. Yeah. And so, I mean, if you think of parts of the brain, almost like two trees near one another with no leaves on them, mm-hmm. That are maybe looking like sticks. And the ketamine actually helps them to grow together and with leaves and actually communicate better.
Wow.
So this enhanced firing of, you know, the connections in the brain actually helps with your thinking, your mood, your sense of well-being. But that's all on the kind of scientific, like neurochemical effects on the brain. But as we've talked about, there's a lot of profound things happening in the mind, in the experience, the psychological. And that coupling together is a quite powerful combination.
Wow. Yeah. So tell me, what is the downside? What is the side effect of ketamine?
So there's no long-term side effects.
Okay.
You know, this treatment has been researched for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
The medicine itself has been around for over 50.
Yeah.
It's been used hundreds of millions of times as an anesthetic. It's been used by many, many thousand patients as an elevator of mood. There's no evidence of long-term side effects at this time. As far as short-term, super minimal. Some dizziness, nausea, fatigue. People, maybe 2 out of 10 people feel a little nauseated. We can give them medicine to help with that.
For like a long time?
No. This all subsides usually within a day, like after a full night of sleep. So no, you're not gonna be dealing with that long term.
Okay.
Short term, I mean, literally just the same day. You might feel a little unsteady on your feet, like you had a few glasses of wine, a little tired, a little worn out. You go to bed and wake up, you feel refreshed the next day. There's usually no hangover. Some people might have a mild headache. Usually that's more related to dehydration than to the treatment, because people actually don't have any food or water for 4 hours before. Mm. And if they don't hydrate well after, they might just start to feel kind of depleted from not eating or drinking. But none of that persists beyond, like a day or so in most cases. It would be very unusual if it did. And so as far as the downsides, honestly, the biggest one is that it doesn't work for everyone. And unfortunately, nothing does. There is no such thing. So we have an 83% success rate. Most of our patients are considered 83%.
That's a lot.
And most of our, it's really a lot. And most of our patients come to us having been deemed treatment resistant. So they've tried at least two or three, and many times many more than two or three other conventional treatments or medications, and not benefited or had only a minimal benefit and side effects that were intolerable. Ketamine doesn't have any of the side effects of the conventional medications.
I want to ask, is ketamine effective for psychopathy?
For psychopathy, no. So that would be some of the exclusion criteria. We don't take people who are actively psychotic. We don't treat schizophrenic or other certain types of personality disorders.
How about panic attacks? People deal with panic attacks.
Ketamine can help with anxiety. It is, you know, a little bit better for depression, PTSD, suicidality, but it can help. And various forms of anxiety disorders.
Yeah.
And I think it really kind of depends upon the person and what's behind that.
How about for phobias?
We've seen some patients for agoraphobia, various phobias, or OCD, and it can help with that. I would say also I've seen better results with depression, PTSD, than with OCD or certain phobias. But again, you know, a lot of this really different labels, diagnosis, conditions often stem from trauma and unresolved.
Oh.
Yeah, and so in some ways you can think of them like almost as like symptoms.
Yeah.
And not conditions in of themselves. And we see a lot of comorbidity, right? We see a lot of people who are dealing with more than one. So somebody, you know, they often come together, someone who's, you know, depressed and also suicidal, or they have severe PTSD and night terrors and, you know, paranoia, and it's affecting their life. And so they're really depressed by that because of that. So, so I think, you know, ketamine really, again, it just promotes a healthier brain function, mood, and the experience itself can provide insight and closure and healing for really just about anyone.
So what I understand, and please add to it, correct me, whenever there is for example, a trauma, that trauma creates a certain pathway that can then translate into a PTSD response, correct?
Yeah.
So you have a neural pathway that has been created due to a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
If
if you want to eradicate this neural pathway, don't you need to build another one, another pathway that will then compete with the old pathway?
Yeah, so do you snowboard or ski?
I do snowboard, yes.
Okay, so when you go down a run that you or many others have been down many times, you start to get tracks in the snow. And it's pretty easy to go down within any of those given tracks that have already been carved out.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, at a certain point, it becomes rather difficult not to go down in a given track. So ketamine and other psychedelic medicines as well, and if we have time or interest, we can touch on some of the others because there's some similarities here, but they provide, or I should say ketamine infusions clinically can provide fresh snowfall. And then you can go down the run any way you want.
And build it the way
and
you
then
want.
Those are the new tracks that you're creating. Does that make sense?
In terms of neurons and neuroplasticity, scientifically, could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so neurons that fire together, wire together, and ways of being and thinking become habitual for us. And so if you learn from a traumatic experience that you need to be a certain way to protect yourself or to be safe, and that starts to get ingrained in you long enough, it's not just a, it becomes a part of who you are,
Correct.
A part of your identity. So that can be extremely difficult to disrupt through talk therapy or prescription pills or any of that stuff, because this is just, it gets really embedded in you and how your identity is. So ketamine kind of flips the reset switch on that. There's a lot of, you know, complex processes going on in the brain, and we've talked about some of them, like it's a BDNF amplifier, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, you know, protein that can actually help to cause this increased size in the brain and connectivity. It's an NMDA receptor antagonist. It's an AMPA receptor agonist. So these are some of the technical processes. At the end of the day, we kind of keep coming back to a clean slate, if you will, disrupting those ways of recurring thoughts and behavior, and then providing space for new positive ones to come.
Fantastic. And what is the minimum age you have to be to do?
So we generally treat 18 and up. We have treated patients as young as 9.
Interesting.
And we make exceptions on a case-by-case basis for that. For the most part, we're an 18 and up practice. Our psychiatrists are board certified in child and adolescent psychiatry, so they have that training and understanding. It is a little bit more challenging, and for a variety of reasons, to treat children. We treated this 9-year-old, and we treated a couple others that were around 9, 10, 11 at times, because they had really severe challenges, had tried everything. And, you know, if a child is old enough to have that kind of trouble, and they're old enough to have tried and not responded to other treatments, they're old enough to have ketamine. And again, that's something we really need to assess on a case-by-case basis. But yeah, I mean, ketamine is actually very commonly used today still in pediatrics because it is so safe. So when children need sedation for a procedure or surgery, it is most often ketamine.
So with infusion therapy, it's a lower dose than if they were to go under anesthesia.
Yeah, and a little bit higher than if they were trying to do talk therapy during the session. And also, you know, I kind of touched on this briefly before, but we didn't really dive into it, but usually ketamine-assisted psychotherapy has other routes of administration, right? Like the IM or the injection or the into the muscle or under the tongue. These can be really therapeutic for people, but they have a different mechanism of action. They don't actually affect the brain in exactly the same way. The experience is not exactly the same. There are a lot of nuanced advantages in terms of safety and efficacy of IV infusions. And that's what over 90% of the literature is on. You know, there's about 170, 180 clinical trials proving ketamine is effective for mental health. About 70 of them have their results published online, and you can view them. They're really focused on the IV infusion process.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm actually personally very excited to explore more, and I'm going to come to the
clinic.
I would love that. Yeah, come by, you know.
I'd love to.
Take a tour, maybe even see
She's
if the treatment
be the
might be good
one.
For you.
So,
yeah. I mean, as you said, you discovered you have PTSD. I hope that you're feeling good about how you're working through that. But if you need support, this could be an interesting option to discuss.
Absolutely.
And it might be cool as a follow-up to potentially share your firsthand experience of it.
I would love to actually, when I when it got triggered, and I realized, oh my God, this throughout all these years, I have been responding to this particular trauma.
Yeah.
And this was a more amplified version of it when I got triggered a year ago. I started to self-hypnotize.
Mm.
So in those moments that I would get triggered,
mm-hmm.
I would go lay down. I would go into the experience. I would slow down my brainwaves,
mm-hmm.
and I would start. I would hear the voice, the fear, the whatever, and I would talk over it. So I have spent years really strengthening the other voice.
Yeah.
So there's the programming, the unconscious mind that has these reactions. So as I would listen to this pain, I would speak over it, I would talk over it, and I would be able to bring myself back down.
Yeah.
It is immensely improved.
Yeah.
Immensely improved, and I can see the difference in my day-to-day life. But there are still some remnants of it where I will experience, so something will trigger it, and now I know it. So I am not in it, but I am observing it. But still, I can see the reactions in my body, and I talk to it. Obviously, the rash is not, and I call it the rash, but I mean the emotional response or the symptom is not as intense, as strong. So it is lighter, but I still have to talk myself through it.
Yeah.
You know, you're safe in this moment.
With ketamine, you're going to create that new snow path.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. And I mean, good for you for doing that work. I mean, when people talk about doing the work, it's not just posting on Instagram, right? I mean, really conditioning yourself and training and retraining your mind and working hard to make those changes. It's not easy. And it takes time. And as you mentioned, it's still a daily practice, an ongoing effort. You don't cross a finish line and you're done. But you are so much, it's that muscle that you've worked and so much more in control of your own thinking. And that's beautiful. And you know, hypnosis can definitely help to access the subconscious in ways that you might not otherwise. Ketamine is like a rocket ship in that way. And in the, you know, someone who's a meditator, who's meditated their entire life, can access certain things that most people never will without any other substances needed. But most of us aren't gonna dedicate the time and energy and the training to really become that. So ketamine is almost like a shortcut. You can get into that.
Beautiful.
You can get to that like fast. And the effects are powerful and they're measurable.
Wow. Well, I'm super interested, Sam. Mm. Very, very interested. Because like you said, it is not easy. And the moments that those changes happen, you are effective, is when you do get triggered.
Yeah.
When you are in the trigger, and which is the most difficult to pivot in those moments, those are the moments you actually have to pivot.
Yeah. Well, they say, you know, you judge the character of a man not by when times are good, but when times are hard, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing. You don't really know just how well you've done with your tools and your mental health toolkit until you're going through a tough time.
Absolutely.
That's when you get to really put them to the test.
Well, they say this, you must have heard of this quote. It says, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend or a week with your parents.
Oh my God.
They'll
take you back instantly. If ketamine can very rapidly move you forward, the parents can take you real back real quick. Yeah.
Super
Thank you so much for having me. This was amazing.
This was amazing. And perhaps we will do a follow-up episode.
Oh,
that would
be
so
after
cool.
Some
laughing and singing. In the...
I don't know. Maybe it might be quiet.
I know. I'm the one who triggered you. I know the rest.
Well, whether it's laughing, singing, or crying, or a combination of all three, no wrong way to do it.
I'd be such a great friend that every time I got triggered, I would just start laughing and singing. That would be scary too, right?
Little. Crazy.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. Thank you for being with us. If you think this episode is going to serve somebody, please be sure to share. Remember to like and
comment for us.
Yeah, let us know. Have you ever done any type of ketamine therapy? We don't want to hear about your weekend. but if you have used this or any type of other therapy to help yourself with PTSD or a trauma, we'd love to hear about it in the comments below.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.